Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some of you may or may not know this about me, but I am a huge history nerd. I love learning everything I can about ancient civilizations, cultures, cities, everything. It was my favorite subject when I was in school. I was even so crazy as to take a college-level course when I was a sophomore in high school for history. I love it so much. I got to learn so many things about wars, about the people who influenced society. It was a wonderful thing. But as I was looking through history, I noticed something come up, which I'm sure is not a big shock to anyone here who even has the very slightest rudimentary knowledge of the world. There's a lot of conflict. I mean, seriously, you know how many wars are in history? There are a ton. They go on for hundreds of years sometimes. And when there aren't wars, there are skirmishes, maybe little battles about what land belongs to who. History is just nasty sometimes. But it's sad, though. Because as you look throughout history, you come to the inevitable conclusion about mankind. Mankind is inherently seeking conflict. It might not be with wars. It could be like with the Industrial Revolution here in America. Even though it was a time of peace, there were people vying for trade, trying to make the most money. There was conflict. If you look any throughout history, you'll see conflict is one of the driving forces of technology, of culture. Sometimes cultures are even built around conflict. But you don't even need to go to the history to see that conflict exists. We meet Jesus in a time right now when he's preaching in Luke in a time of great conflict. Because the history nerd I am knows that it is, you know, around the Roman Empire. Around this time in the Roman Empire, there were tons of expansion going around. Germany was starting to be taken over more readily. They were starting to conscript more legions into fighting that. And way up into the north, there was a great campaign to annex Great Britain into the Roman Empire. And around this time, here is a guy in the Middle East who's speaking some words to a group of people. These people, as we know, are the Jews. Seen on a mountaintop are people who understand conflict. Their entire religion is almost based around in that conflict. Their entire culture is based around in conflict. One just has to go to their forefathers to see this. We even have that in our Old Testament today. Jacob is the guy who was a man who was full of conflict. He actually had to wrestle with God. And his son is no different. You all know the story of Joseph. And it is a little bit different than an Andrew Lloyd Webber Broadway musical. It's such as good songs as they are. It's not really the right story. You see, as much as we like to make Joseph into this wonderful man, caring and just so forgiving, I have some news to break to you. Joseph was a brat. Like a big brat. Like, if you all have a younger sibling, think about your younger sibling and then multiply their annoyances about 20 times, and you got Joseph. You see, Joseph was a dreamer. And I mean, it wasn't that his head was in the clouds. No, I literally meant he dreamed dreams. He would go and he would say to his brothers who were out in the hot sun working, "Hi, guys." "Hi, Joseph." I had a dream." "Oh, really? You want to share that with us again?" "Oh, yeah, I had a dream." "You'll never guess what happened." "Well, you see, there was a dream where, you know, there was some hay bales all around, and, you know, I came upon these hay bales, and they all started bowing to me. Who would have thought? And coincidence, there are the same number of hay bales as there are you brothers. Now, isn't that something?"
"Gee, thanks, Joseph."
"And then again, oh, I had a dream where some stars were all bowing down to me. Oh, and you'll never guess."
"Yeah, there was 12 stars, we get it."
Joseph was a brat. And so his brothers did what any sane, rational, responsible older siblings would do. They immediately took him to a well and threw him down and sold him into slavery and then faked his death. You know, like all sensible brothers would do at the point at that time. Joseph's entire life was on conflict. He would be put into jail because even when he was a slave to the eunuch of Pharaoh, apparently his wife, this eunuch's wife, wanted Joseph. Joseph, now being a bit older, says no, and, well, he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. In prison, there was even more conflict. He was a good warden for the prisoners, and he even helped some people. He told the dreams of two men, a baker and a cup holder for Pharaoh. And the cup holder was actually going to live while the baker was going to die. And so when the cupbearer is freed, he says, please remember me. And the cupbearer says, oh, sure, I'll remember you. And many years later, Pharaoh has a dream about a great plague that's going to happen, a great famine over across the land. He gets so angry, though, because no one could actually interpret his dream. He is on the warpath. Pharaoh is ready to kill some people over this because no one understands what is going on. And suddenly the cupbearer remembers Joseph in prison after all these years. Joseph comes, and you know the rest of the story. He interprets Pharaoh's dream and saves the land of Egypt. Then his brothers come. His brothers come, and they don't even recognize him. They even have a new little brother, Benjamin. And they want Joseph's help. Revenge was probably on the mind of Joseph when he saw his brothers walk in, begging this powerful man, second most powerful man in Egypt, for some food. Here are his tormentors before him. The ones responsible for all of those years in prison, all of those years of slavery. Joseph has them underneath his power. Conflict is inherently human. The words of Christ would seem far from the ears of Joseph. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs of you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. Those words would probably fall deaf on Joseph's ears as he sees his brothers there begging him, of all people, to help them. It's human nature to be in conflict. But I don't have to tell you this. Y'all know it. I don't have to go to history or the Old Testament and to the patriarchs of the Jewish people to tell you this. You can see it in your own lives. Conflict is at the core of human nature. There it is there when we all have fights with our spouse, conflicts with our neighbors, conflicts even with your kids about who's going to actually take out the trash and the kids not wanting to do it. Siblings, you'll have conflicts too. Maybe not as extreme as Joseph. Please don't tell me you have it as extreme as Joseph. But there is conflict. Conflict between friends, distant family, grudges being held on for far too long, and even conflict in this world. We see it all around us. To be human is to be in conflict. To be human is to almost rely upon this conflict to drive us, to move us. But how can this be? Conflict only leads to more conflict, more hurt, more despair. What makes it different for us? The most truest, distinctly Christian thing in the entire Gospels is what Jesus says upon the cross. When he is sitting there, being tortured there upon this cross, all of the conflict of the world can be seen right in that very moment. Bloody, broken, and beaten. He's on that cross. And he says this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can this be? This is Jesus we're talking about. Yes, we know him as the Son of God, the one who is the most forgiving, the most loving person in the world, but we have to remember, this is Jesus. If he wanted to, he could call down an army of angels, where they would literally destroy everything around him so that he would be safe. He could do that. If he wanted to, he could take himself down from the cross, marvel everyone there, and show with his power that, no, he is God. Why doesn't he? Why does he say the most distinctly Christian thing? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says before this, during his ministry, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When we go back to Joseph and he's with his brothers, he sees them bow down, but instead, he says, instead of hurling them out, torturing them, getting back at them, instead, Joseph does this. He says to them, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph knew that God was with him. Joseph knew that God used all of the conflict of the world for his benefit. But more so, he knew God. He knew of his great power that he had given him, and he knew of the great power that God had. And so with this faith in God, he forgives his brothers. You see, this is the most distinctly Christian thing: forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that is not human nature. It's God's nature. We see this on the cross, where Jesus, whom we see God incarnate and know God personally through, forgives his enemies. He forgives actually the sins of the whole world upon that cross. All of the people there, of the Jewish people, he gave him the cloak of his forgiveness. And even more so, he died on that cross for the forgiveness of sins, and so gave his tunic also for the entire world. And that promise was made sure, that it was stamped with God's approval, that this actually was his nature and will to forgive when he solved the problem of the consequence of conflict in Jesus. For mankind was always in conflict with God from the very beginning. That was Satan's intention, to cause enmity, conflict with men and God. And instead, God restored that which was broken in Christ. He brought him back to life. And so stamped that said, yes, this is what it means to be truly human, is to forgive, to be loved, to be forgiven and reconciled with me, God. You know this is true because I promise that I would raise my son from the dead, and I did. And I will raise you too on the last day. So go and forgive. It's not easy. With our own power, we would never be able to do it. We'd be able maybe to say, I forgive you, but maybe it's so we could feel better about ourselves. Maybe it's so that we can put our good deeds of forgiveness on some imaginary scale and weigh out our good and our bad. Maybe, just maybe, we'll be better in the next life than this one. But no. Forgiveness is a godly thing. And it is for others, and not ourselves, to give. we have this wonderful forgiveness of Christ given to us by God. And God instills within each and every one of us the most Christian thing in the world, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved. So yes, it is hard to forgive. And yes, it is true that human nature is one based on conflict. But we have a new nature, baptized into Christ. So come, let's go do something distinctly Christian. Let us forgive as we have been forgiven. Let us love as we have been loved. Let us always live our lives wholly committed to Christ our Lord. Amen.